We have known for years about a crisis of suicide among U.S. veterans and active duty service members, but now we have a better idea of just how bad it is. Brown University's Costs of War Project is out with a new study that shows four times as many active duty troops and veterans have died by suicide than by combat since the post-9/11 wars began. Ben Suit joins us now. He's author of the study. Ben, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
One important finding from this report is that the suicide rate of active service members is now the same or maybe even higher than the general population. And that's a shift, right? What did you find?
The Department of Defense hasn't released new rates since 2018, but we can look at the quarterly reports and see that year over year since 2018, the suicide numbers have gone up. I worry to think what the pandemic has done as well, but
Well, it is a concerning trend, and I guess the big question is why? What is it about the post 9/11 wars that brings an added emotional burden for so many people?
So there are really two larger categories to think about with this. So on the one hand, there would be issues that would be true of all wars, something like the physiological response to trauma, PTSD, but also if you imagine the act of killing in war goes against sort of your beliefs of what is right, you might feel some shame, guilt, and that's very much tied to, very tragically, suicidal ideation. What seems to be unique about the post 9/11 era is in the early parts of the war, especially in the height of the fighting, say 2007, there was just a tremendous number of improvised explosive devices, IEDs, and this led to a huge increase in traumatic brain injuries. Traumatic brain injuries are often called the signature injury of the war on terror. And so it's not that a person's getting just one traumatic brain injury. They're getting 10, 20 traumatic brain injuries, but they're remaining in the military.
I was hoping you could humanize this for us. Tell us about some of the people and the families that this issue has touched, because that's a big part of your report as well.
I spoke with over 50 veterans about their experiences, and I spoke with a forward observer, and he witnessed a tremendous amount of combat and violence while in the military. But upon coming home after he was medically discharged because he had multiple traumatic brain injuries and had developed PTSD, he realized that not only was he wrestling with suicidal ideation, but a lot of his brothers and sisters in arms were wrestling with it too. And in fact, more people in his unit had died by suicide than died in combat, despite his role that was really in sort of the heat of battle. An important piece here too is we often think about combat veterans, but in fact, the suicidal ideation and suicide rates among those in support roles, those that never see combat, those are really high too.
What would the reasons be? I mean, if they haven't been traumatized in the traditional sense of, you know, stepping on an IED or you know, being shot at.
There's been a rise in military sexual trauma that affects a staggering number of both women and men in the military. In addition to that, having this sort of secondary exposure to violence can be traumatic. And then just adding to that, that we shouldn't undercut the impact of high operational tempo, isolation from family and friends, just the tremendous stress and burden put upon service members to have these very long work hours, that these do contribute to suicidal ideation.
The thing is, though, that it's not a new problem. We have known that there has been a suicide crisis in the U.S. military for many years now. So why hasn't the Defense Department or the VA been able to make this any better, to improve the situation?
That is a fantastic question. The, you know, year over year, the spending on suicide prevention with the VA has gone up and up and up. And yet veterans that I speak with still complain about the tremendous bureaucracy they have to cut through, that not all mental health care workers are created equal, not all doctors are helpful, that there are just simply barriers to entry, let alone those veterans who are in such remote parts of the country that they don't have access to a VA hospital. In terms of the Department of Defense, they are aware of the problem, but there's something of a cultural issue within the military. They do have social workers that work for the military. They do have mental health counselors. They have a robust chaplain corps. These resources are available, and yet those who seek help are treated as something of an outcast, that's a bit of a blanket statement, but to realize that it goes against the sort of machismo culture of the military to seek help when the idea is that you would be this, you know, warrior that's able to have the resilience to get beyond any of the trauma that you're facing. It would take an actual cultural shift within the Department of Defense and the military towards help-seeking attitudes.
Well, let's hope that comes. Ben Suit, author of a report on the high suicide rates among United States service members and veterans of the post-9/11 wars, done for Brown University's Costs of War Project. Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if you need help, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255 or text 741-741.